Marcus Barber joining us once again. And after watching all those Olympics events and you think, oh, wow, another Olympic record broken, another world record broken, what is the limit of human endurance and human capability? It's been asked before, but I thought we might actually have a chat about that with our futurist. Marcus, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Richard. How are you going?
Really well, thank you. Have you been watching much of the Olympics so far?
Oh, yes, and I'm so exhausted. Yes, I have.
Suddenly you watch a lot of sports, you've got no idea what's going on, and that's okay. I watched a bit of volleyball, didn't really have much idea what's going on. Watched a bit of sailing, didn't have really much idea what was going on. Quite enjoyed the whole thing, but just really didn't have much idea what was going on. But what is obvious is that we must be getting close to the limits of human capability. So I'm wondering about the future of faster, stronger, higher. How much faster, stronger, higher can we go, and will the future bring us those things?
Oh, yes, I think every Olympics and major sporting event, we tend to say they couldn't possibly get any quicker, surely. And yet, within a relatively short period of time in some events, there seems to be these great leaps. So I think we're only really just starting to get towards what might be a physical peak without us going to some sort of more scientific enhancements. And that's the direction we're going to go.
How are we going to do it? So what are we going to do? Build? Is it going to be a little bit sort of like the $6 million man? Well, it's obviously cost more than $6 million these days, but, you know, $6 million man, where we actually just put parts of bodies onto them and make them into sort of genetically reformed super people?
Yeah, I think we are.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do believe that. If you look at, say, the Paralympics at the moment, interestingly enough, some of the technology used for the Paralympians who are missing limbs, that type of approach where you've got these carbon fibre legs or arms that are used to assist them, that's now starting to be looked at, how do you apply that to able-bodied athletes in a smaller form, so without the same sort of impact, but those microseconds that come into play. So, yes, we're going to see that sort of technology. I think probably the main area, though, they're going to get far smarter at selecting athletes earlier on who have a predisposition for certain types of events. And the CSIRO, interestingly enough, are leading the way with a particular test that can tell whether your offspring have a predisposition to fast twitch fibres or slow twitch fibres, in other words, speed events or strength events, and you can then start training accordingly.
One of the things that's been notable about this Olympics is there been the discussion in Australia about our paucity of gold medals, but there's also been a discussion about how we ourselves have helped the world catch up with scientific technique and the like to bring them up to speed sporting-wise so that they can achieve more. Is that what's going to happen with CSIRO? We'll sell that information on to everybody else?
Yeah, well, that information is available now, so it's another income generator for CSIRO. People can have the blood test taken and sent off to CSIRO, and they'll come back with an indication of whether that particular young child has a leaning one way or another. Certainly our coaches have been over assisting other athletes, but I think if anything it just shows how far advanced our coaching techniques have been and how far behind some of the more larger nations, if you like, have, how poorly they've been doing in the past. So I think there's a levelling of the playing field there. But there's other scientific interventions that are starting to come in terms of genetic technologies that I think are going to be far more interesting as well.
One of the things that might be coming our way, and it surprised me when you sent me this email, and you said, in fact, transgender athletes may be the way forward. There was only in the last couple of years a discussion over an African runner who was in doubt about whether or not she was male or female. Officially, she was decided that she was female, but she went through a huge thing where they were saying, no, you're not actually a woman, so you can't run in female events. Transgender athletes may be the way of the future.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether or not, and, you know, we're talking about the long-term thing and whether there's numbers for it, but the question is, if you have an increase in transgender members of your population, which you automatically get when you increase the population size, at what point do the Olympics say, okay, we really do need to open this up for people who are transgender in terms of their natural development? So maybe that's a new category we'll see at some point in the future. Not in the next few years, but you know, there is a possibility that will be something that they need to look at.
So scientifically, we can get everything together. You've got an idea, which is that we take all the money that's being put into sport and we give a little bit to the research scientists, and we'll get better sport and we'll get better science all in the same place.
Absolutely. I've come up with what I call the Aussie. So we can have the chance. Everyone knows the Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. Well, yeah. This one is AUSSI, which stands for the Australian Unified Sports and Science Institute.
Ah.
And what we want to do is combine our scientific abilities and therefore fund them better with our sports people and therefore have access to the advanced
science. Don't we already kind of do that anyway with the AIS?
Not really. Well, look, the AIS is fantastic and they produce some great athletes, but I'd like to see it far more developed than what it is now. I'd like to see much broader use of technology, much more use of science beyond the idea of physical training and beyond the idea of dietitians and psychologists, which the AIS are fantastic at. I want to see much more development, the closest of carbon fibre technology and other new technologies so the rowers can go faster, so the badminton players can play better, so the hockey players are more effective. I'd like to see that side of technology added to our approach to sport as well.
You can imagine people being a little bit resistant to it. We talked a couple of weeks ago about food and we talked about genetically modified food. How do you think people are going to react to genetically modified athletes?
They're genetically modified now. It's just done through a process of selection through training. So if you think about the old process of how you select the best strawberry crops, we've been doing that with athletes for the last few decades. It's not that much different, except the athlete's a little bit more expensive than your strawberry crop. So in effect, you're going to go down that path anyway. So some of the manipulation that they're starting to look at for DNA or gene sequencing, I expect to see that applied more. Maybe not necessarily in some of the westernised countries, but certainly in some of the overseas marketplaces where they'll get far more effective at saying, okay, how can we manipulate this particular person's genome to make them a more effective athlete? Mm. And I think that's what you're going to start to see a lot more of. And therefore, your faster, stronger, higher continues to extend.
Do you think I could ever be reformatted or you could ever be reformatted such that right from now we could be maybe in the Rio Olympics, you and I, Marcus, playing a bit of volleyball or something?
Richard, I'm happy to go and have a go at playing volleyball. I'm happy to join you as part of a beach volleyball team if we'll get funded.
I'm only about 175 centimetres high, so, I think my chances of being...
As we know,
white men can't jump.
It's all about competing. It's not about winning gold. And this is the challenge. I think to some extent, in the media right now, we're seeing sports people saying, the pressure's too high. Well, really, that's part of the job. But at the same time, we seem to have discounted this fact that just getting out there and having a crack is what we really ought to be focusing on, not producing gold medals. If an athlete goes out and produces a personal best, that is an outstanding achievement, regardless of the end result, in terms of what they might or might not get hanging around their neck.
Well, you and I both, because I was just mentioning my favourite man at the moment is Steve Solomon, a man who came eighth in the final of the 400 metres and said, somebody's got to come last.
Yep.
It was me. I had a fantastic time.
Absolutely.
All you critics can go and jump. I don't care what you think.
And what a great attitude to have, as a 19-year-old, you think, well, that's the type of role model we'll want. At the same time, though, I'm looking forward to Sally Pearson hopefully coming home with a gold, because that would be a realistic expectation met for her. And maybe that's the other area we need to look at in terms of future athletes.
Cloning. Just clone Sally Pearson forever.
And there's a few others we might need to clone too.
That's right. We need to clone the attitude of Steve Solomon and put it in the body of Sally Pearson, and we'd be right.
Wouldn't that be the awesome athlete, Richard?
Lovely. Good to talk to you, Marcus. As always, we will speak about the future next time round. In fact, 1 week hence, in the future.